Today we're going to learn Daf Tzadichet, Tfulin. We're going to start at the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amabet. We were up to, remember we had a whole discussion whether the item counts as Shishim. We had the unique halacha of an udder. And now we're going to talk about the Beitzim, the last part of that source, which is Beitz HaBeshishim Ve'em Beitz HaMin HaMinyan. If you cook up an egg, we'll see what kind of egg, but let's say a non-kosher egg, like an egg from a bird that's not kosher, it's batal b'shishim, and you don't count the beitza in the shishim. Amar le Rav Idi bar Avin la'abaye, l'meimra d'yave tama. It sounds like it gives taste. V'ha amri inche ki maya d'bei ba'alma. Don't people say that it's like the water of an egg, which is basically has no taste at all. It's like a saying people say that it really has no taste whatsoever. And then how could you even, right? It's not even an issue. Amarle, hacha b'mayaskinam b'beitzat efroch. The assumption is if you have an egg that has a chicken side, in other words, it's not what we thought that we were talking about, a beitza from a non-kosher animal. We're talking about a fertilized egg that has a chicken side. Then it's going to have taste, right? That even from a kosher animal is forbidden to be eaten. Aval tmea lo, but it's not relevant for one that's tmea. Which tmea here means not kosher, coming from a non-kosher bird. Etive. Now let's bring a source that seems to contradict that, though. It says in a braita, beitzim, it's actually a tosefta in Trumot, beitzim tahorot, sheshlakan im beitzim tmeot. And here it seems to be talking about beitzim tmeot, right? We just said beitzim tmeot, you wouldn't have this issue because they don't taste like anything. So if you cook kosher birds, beitzim from kosher birds, with together, right? Shalkan is cooked together with beitzim tmeot. Im yesh behem benotein tam, kulam asurot. So here you see, it talks about there is tam in beitzim tmeot. So they answer, oh no, hachirami bebeitzat efroch. When it says beitzim tmeot, it's talking about ones with chicks inside. Vamai kari la tmea. So why did it call it tmea? Because that's generally, again, tmea is a weird term anyway, because right, we use tame usually means impure, but when we started talking about animals and all that, we seem to use it also in the context of non-kosher. So why do they call it tmea if it's an efroch? Kevandi be'efroch, kare le tmea. It's a general term that just includes anything that can't be eaten. So then it makes sense to talk about a beitzat efroch. So right now, this source doesn't seem to contradict, right? We started with, there's a distinction between non-kosher eggs and just plain non-kosher eggs, right, that come from tmeot, or non-kosher, rather than beitzot efroch. So beitzat efroch has taste, and the other one doesn't have taste. So this source, as long as we can say, it's talking about when it says beitzim tmeot, it doesn't mean beitzim tmeot, it means there's an efroch, we're fine. Then we have no contradiction. However, it makes no sense to say that, because look at the continuation of that tosefta. Bahami de katane seifa, and as the Reisha said, let's just go back for a minute, beitzim tahorot sheshlakan beitzim tmeot, im yesh ben benotei tam kulam asarot, and we said that means with an efroch, but look at what the seifa says. Beitzim sheshlakam v'nimsa efroch be'achat mehen im yesh ben benotein tam kulam asurot. The second case in that Tosefta talks about beitzei efroch, and it calls them by name, beitzat efroch. So here it says very specifically, if you cook eggs with an efroch inside of them, the same halach is going to apply, right? If there's no tein tam kulam asurot, which makes it sound like the first case was obviously not talking about that. Because now if you line up the whole braita, you have tohorot, sheshlakan, beitzim tmeot. If there's no tein tam, it's asurot. And in addition, beitzim sheshlakan v'nimtza efroch be'achat mehem, im yesh ben beno tein tam kulam asurot. So michlal dereisha delet le'efroch haskin. And it must be that the reisha clearly doesn't have, in which case we're back to our original question. We thought that beitzim tmeot, we said, have no tam. So how do we explain this? So what do they answer? Oh, you misunderstood the Tosefta. Perusha kamifarish. The Seifa is explaining the Reisha. We've seen this sometimes, right, where they take, seems like they're talking about two, it's as if it's two different lines. It's actually, the second line is coming to explain the first line. Beitzim tahorot sheshlakan beitzim tmeot im yesh bahem beno tein tam kulan asurot. Ketzad, how would you have a case where they're going to be asurot? kigon shesh lakam v'nimtza efroch be'echad mehem. Okay, so they basically say, right, which is, in any case, the structure of the Tosefta is a little strange, because they both have the same halacha, so you would have thought to combine them, right? You would have thought to say, beitzim tavot shesh lakam in beitzim tmeyon, oh, shenimtza efroch be'echad mehem, im yesh ben benot etam. So here's a good explanation. Oh, really? Yes, it's true, they are one and the same, and the second case is coming to explain the first. Now they say, Hachinami Mistabra, and we can even further prove that this makes sense. How so? If you understood the first case to just be a regular oftame, which less likely has taste, right? Even if they say it has taste, it definitely has less taste than when there is a chicken side. Hashta delepe afroch asura, deipe afroch mebaya. If the first case says, if you cook eggs with non-kosher eggs, if it has flavor, it's going to forbid it. Then, of course, if you cook an efroch, a beitza with an efroch, which has more taste, of course that's going to be usher, in which case the second case of the Tosefta is totally useless. If you're going to say they're talking about two different cases, then it makes no sense. So, basically, they say, therefore, that proves our point that the second case is clearly coming to explain the first case, because otherwise there'd be no point to bring the second line about it with an efroch. It would be obvious. So now they say, imishumha lo iria. That's not a good proof. Why? You could say, the tana seifa legiluye resha. The second case in the braita came, even though it was unnecessary, it wasn't really unnecessary. What was it necessary for? Well, think about it. If it just said one case, and again, it called it Tameh, what might you have thought? That maybe Tameh means Efroch, right? And then you would think that if you cooked it with a Beitzah Tameh from an Of Tameh, a Beitzah from an Of Tameh, which most people think doesn't have taste, then you might think it's Mutar Legamre. So therefore, the Seifa came Legiluye Resha. Shelot Tomar Resha Deipe Efroch. Don't think that the first case, assuming we only had the first case, was Deipe Efroch. But if it doesn't have an efroch in it, it would for sure be mutar. Tana seifa deipe efroch michlal deresha leipe efroch. Okay, so therefore they say it could be, and this kind of rejects their, right, they had two proofs, right? They said this is the case, right? It must be the seifa is coming lefirush resha, and then they tried to further prove it by saying that it doesn't make sense to have two sections, right, if it doesn't make sense to say Efroch once you already said the first case of Beitzah Tameah. So now they say, no, that doesn't prove anything, because it could be they have Efroch to teach you. It's not only Efroch, right? You have the second case to say there's two cases here. There's Beitzah Tameah and Efroch. And therefore, it doesn't necessarily prove it. Okay, so we ended up with saying that kind of it. We assume it's not a Beitzah Tameah, but we don't have a total proof for it from the way the Braita works. Okay, so we have a way of reading the Braita that makes sense, and then we have a way of reading it that could really potentially contradict this halacha. Okay, another case. Hahu kezeta tarba, that's a kezayit of chelev, dinafa b'dikule debisra. Okay, that fell into, there's three different interpretations. What dikula? Dikula is usually a basket, but most people explain this as talking about a pot. Okay, it fell into a pot of basar that was cooking. Savarav, it should be Rav Ashi, l'shi'ure b'may debala dikula. Okay, he said that we should assess it based on what the, based on the
360 for Shishi.
No, but what does it mean, b'may debala kadera? One second.
See whether the pot had absorbed it into its water.
Right. This is that he said, what happens? You put it in the pot. Now, you have this chelev and you have this meat. So normally, what do you look at? You'd assume, okay, how much chelev fell in and how much meat is in the pot right now? But if the stuff is cooking for a little while, so there must be some of the meat that got absorbed into the pot. So when we assess the shishim, he said we should assess it based on the amount of chelev and meat that went into the pot also. So you have to kind of evaluate how much was absorbed into the pot also. Right? I always find this, how much got absorbed into the pot, is very hard to figure out how to assess that. But anyway, so basically what he's saying is, Let's say you have a piece of chalev that falls into a pot of meat. So assess it based on not only the meat that you see in the pot now, but whatever meat was absorbed into the pot of the sides of the pot. So you have to figure out it's probably a larger amount. So then they say...
Can you assess it based on the amount that you put in originally? Because that
right, so you could say that. Right, I guess you could do based on what fell in originally.
And how much you knew how much you put in.
Or
right.
The flavor got enhanced. And
right.
And then it spread out, so there's more of it. Either way, it's more in favor of levatel et chelet.
Right. What he's trying to do is to increase the amount of meat that we have to cancel out the chelet.
Right.
So the Gemara says, but wait, where the rabbi said to him, Amar le rabbanan le ravashi, atu dehetera bala, di isura lo bala. What you're assuming the pot absorbed only the meat and didn't absorb the chelet.
Depends how quickly you're doing.
Right, so first of all, it does depend. It could be, if it fell in at a later point, the meat was cooking for longer, right? And then it does make sense what he's saying. But the rabbis say, what do you mean? It absorbs this, it absorbs that. In other words, just use what's in front of you. Because you're basically, if you're going to start counting that, then count how much chelet was in there, and then you're going to get to the same proportions. Okay, another case. Hahu palga de zeta de tarba, a half a kazayat of chelev, de nafal bidikula de bisra, fell into a pot of basar. Again, assuming dikula is a pot, fell into a pot of basar. Savar marbar of ashi, the shi'urin, bitaltim palge de zeta. Okay, now this is a strange thing. You might read this and think he's doing 30 zeitim, but no. 30 half zeitim, which means 1 in 30 rather than. One in, right, because it's a half a zayit to 30 half zeitim. So the proportion is 1 in, what?
15
zeitim. But a half a kezayit into 30 half kezayits, which means 1 to 30 ratio, not 1 to 60 ratio, right? Because it's a half a kezayit to 15 is the same as 1 in 30. Okay? So he thought to cancel it out b'shloshim. Amar le'avua. Lava mina, he's Amarle, Avua lava mina lach, lotes alzel bashirim de rabbanan. What didn't your father tell you? Don't be mezalzel bashirim de rabbanan. In other words, now we're going to see the two, he's basically going to counter this in two ways. One is, what were you thinking? This is, okay, half a kazayat is asur mid rabbanan, because it's not a shear of a kazayat. That's our assumption right now. Number one, half a kazayat is only asur rabbanan. Number two, he's assuming if you have an asur rabbanan, it can be canceled out b'shloshim and not b'shishim. Okay, it's kind of like, you know, Torah is shishim, rabbanan is shloshim.
Well, it makes sense because the proportions are the same. Like 1 in 60 is the same as 1 half to 30.
No, it's 30 halves. It's 1 to 30. It's not, it's half a kazayit to 30 half kazayitim. Not 30 zaytim, it's 15 zaytim. It's a different proportion. So he's using a proportion of 1 to 30. So they say to him, why are you assuming just because it's derabanan, you can use the, you know, half the shear and basically need shloshim instead of shishim? That's the first question. Right? Didn't your father tell you that lotes alzel b'shirim derabanan? And when it comes to derabanan, don't be mezalzel the shirim the rabbis gave. In other words, these are the shirim, they're the shirim across the board, whether it's Doraita or Derabanan. Okay? Right, Rashi explains this means, b'shirim Derabanan, even if it's not us or Derabanan, don't be mezalzel b'shirim. Okay, that's the first. Ve'od, ha'amar b'yochanan, chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah. And also the rabbi said, chatzi shir is asur min ha-Torah. Remember that? We've seen this many times, right? That even though it might be, really, it's not a kezayit, a shir achila, but the rabbis forbade eating a chatzi shir. Like, don't, just like on Yom Kippur, don't say, oh, I'll just eat a chatzi shir. Right? You can't do that. L'chatchila. So basically, he's saying, this is even asur midoraita, so of course you have to use shish. Okay? So even if you want to say it's derabana, right? And that is, number one, you think it's derabana, and therefore shloshim, it's not even derabana. Amar Rav Shem and Bar Abba, Amar Rav Idi Bar, this is a strange name. Amar Rav Idi Bar Gershom. Okay, so Rav Shemin Bar Abba said in the name of Rav Idi, the son of Idi, the son of Gershom. Amar Levi said, Levi Bar Parta, Amar Rabbi Nachum, Amar Rabbi Biriam. Okay, this is a long thing. And they said this all, Mishum Zaken Echad. Okay, they said this all in the name of particular Zaken. And the Gemara is going to tell us who it was, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. Okay, and after this big long introduction, let's see what he says. Debay Nasiya Amru, okay, he doesn't even say it in his own name, right? The house of the Nasi says, Beitza b'shishim asura, b'shishim ve'echat muteret. Okay, now we're back to this Beitza b'shishim. A Beitza in 60 Beitzim is forbidden. In 61 Beitzim, it's mutar. So, it sounds like what he's saying is, right now, it sounds like what he's saying is, you need 61 keneged, and not 60. Okay? So, right, I think, no. So, sorry, Beitza b'shishim asur, b'shishim ve'achad, right, you would need 62 in order to, right, 1 second, to remember, because it's confusing how exactly to read this, that's part of the problem. Right, in other words, what the problem is, he's not being clear here whether the shishim ve'echad includes the forbidden beitza or doesn't include. So Amar Rabbi Zera l'Rav Shemin Bar Abba, after Rav Shemin Bar Abba makes this statement, he says, Re'esha atam matil ba gvul heter. By you saying it like this, you're going to make people, you're putting like a gvul of where the line is of heter. You're basically going to make people, you're making it clear to people that there's a certain gvul of heter, that you're going to be machshil achirin. Why? It sounds like if you have 61 altogether from what you're saying, it's okay. Meaning, including the forbidden egg, which is what you and I would have thought, right? That when we say bata b'shishim, right, what did we say? Beitza b'shishim, ubeitza anim in a minyam, but that would mean, as long as you have 60 kosher ones and one non-kosher, you're okay. But he says, that's not okay to be saying that kind of a statement. Why? Sharei shnei gdolei hador lo pirshu et hadavar. There's two gdolei hador that didn't explain this. They didn't know what the answer was to this big quandary. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, both of those rabbis, Travayu Mishmei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amrei, they both said the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Beitza b'shishim asura, b'shishim ve'achav muteret, okay, they said in his name that a Beitza b'shishim is forbidden, in 61 it's muteret, v'yibaylehu, and they were asked, b'shishim ve'achat behade dida, is it 61, including the forbidden egg, Odilma levar mine, or is it 61, not including the egg? You can see how complicated this is getting, right? How nitpicky, right? Exactly which do you include? Below pashit. And they didn't know the answer. Do you need actually 61 kosher eggs, kineged, which would mean shishim ve'achad instead of shishim? We keep saying shishim all the time. Where all of a sudden is shishim ve'achad coming? We'll explain in a minute. But before we finish that, let's just go like this. So basically, he seems to say shishim ve'echad. You know, he says it like a blanket statement without explaining what he means. So they say, how could you not explain what you mean when you're talking about these numbers? People are going to come to an incorrect conclusion and think it's going to be 61, including the non-kosher egg. And that's going to confuse people because these two great rabbis were asked the exact question, below Pashit, Umar Pashit Lemivshad, and you're making it sound so simple as if you know the answer to this question, or at least people might conclude from what you said that you know the answer.
What's interesting is that besides eggs, you can count. But if it's meat or right. anything else, you just can estimate. So go estimate between 60 and 61.
Right. So why are they making a difference in eggs? So they answer this very interesting answer. So let's just finish for a minute. Itmar, and in fact, halacha lamas, like it was said later on, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna, Beitza v'shishim v'hi asura. If you have 60 plus the non-kosher egg, it's forbidden. V'shishim v'echat v'hi muteret. Okay, now why do they say there's a difference in eggs? This is very interesting, right? You go to a store, you notice there's small, large, and medium, small, medium, and large eggs. Since eggs are different sizes, they're concerned that if you count exactly the number of eggs, then you're going to have an issue because some might be smaller, some might be larger, so they add an extra egg to compensate for the potential difference in sizes of eggs, and that will resolve your issue.
Can I just ask a question just because I'm not understanding? This is assuming they cracked open 60.
So, okay, so that's a good question. I'm actually assuming that they're cooking them, they're hard-boiling them.
So how do they know that one's bad? If they're hard-boiled?
No, they know that one came from a non-kosher bird, and it got mixed up with this bunch of eggs.
A non-kosher bird, not one that's already a chick.
So again, either it's a chick, which they somehow know, in other words, maybe they knew which eggs were fertilized, and this is classic tarovet. One got mixed up with the others, and it's now cooking. And it's obviously a case where they knew beforehand. If they don't know, then it becomes a separate issue. But the assumption is they knew, and they just don't know now which one. You know, go identify which egg is which. They all look the same. So that's the issue. Okay? So that's why these dapim are classic tarovet, right? We have some mixture, which we've seen many times in Shas. So now we learned that eggs have a different halakha. What?
I couldn't understand the problem with it.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks for asking. Okay. Hahu da'ata Rabban Gamliel bar Rebbe. Somebody now comes in front of Rabban Gamliel bar Rebbe. Amarle, and they ask him a question about some ta'arovet. So we'll see in a minute what the case was, what the ratio was. Well, I'll tell you from the beginning. The ratio was 1 to 45. So Amarle, Abba lo she'er ba'arba'im v'sheva v'aniyah she'er ba'arba'im v'chamesh. My father would have matir a case where there was 1 in 47. And you want me to be matiring 1 in 45. Okay, that's one way of reading. This is a classic case where no punctuation, right, could lead to different interpretations. Some people say, my father wouldn't do 47, but... Or I think I'm trying to remember how they read it. But I will do 45. In other words, I'm willing to say it's okay. Okay, so there's a different, right? It all depends on your intonation, right? Even punctuation maybe wouldn't necessarily help, but probably would help because it would be whether it ends in a question mark or more like an exclamation point or maybe even just a period, and then it would be obvious. So there's a debate about whether he said this is okay or not. Now, first of all, you have to remember what time period are we in? We're in at the beginning of the Amoraim, because he's Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, like the Dor Ma'avar. And it could be that this is before there was a concept of Shishim, right? Remember we said that Shishim came as a later, and that here, they're talking before there was Shishim, there was a debate about how exactly to calculate, and you know, here, that's why people were bringing these cases of different numbers. We're going to see another case right now. Hu da'ata l'kameh to Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe. They were going to all of Rebbe's children with these questions. Amrle, Abalo She'er Barbaim Vachamesh, Vania She'er Barbaim Vashalosh. Okay, again, the same kind of statement, right? Whether it's a question, whether it's a statement, you can explain it both ways. Hauda Atal Kamehdu Rabbi Chia. Amrle, so now they brought a case for Rabbi Chia, and he says, Klum Yesh Shloshim? What? There's not even Shloshim here. Okay, so now, or, you know, there isn't Shloshim, but let's put it this way. Let's stay at the first way. Again, how can you, right? Klum yesh shloshim sounds like it doesn't have 30 against it. 30 we saw before, right? There was a potential that maybe yesod rabbanan and you can only use 30. So they say, tama delecha shloshim ha'ika shloshim misharin. What? If it had 30, and he's saying this doesn't even have 30. So they're saying what? But if it had 30, it would have been okay. You would have canceled it. What do you mean? Don't we use shishim? So Amar Rabbi Chanina Guzma. He said he was exaggerating, meaning he was saying, this doesn't even have shloshim, and you think I'm going to matir it? You know, it needs shishim, okay? Or it needs a lot more. So that's how you can explain it. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Kol Isurin shebetorah b'shishim. Okay, so now we have the statement in Bar Kapara's name. Now Bar Kapara's also in the Dor Ma'avar. So it's clear that in the Dor Ma'avar there was a lot of discussion trying to give a number to this, right? Is it 45? Is it 47? Is it more than that? Is it less? Is it 30? Right? All these different things. Bar Kapara said, for all Isurin Sheva Torah, we use Shishim. Amar lefanav Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Rebbe Ata Omer, can you really say this? Hachi Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara. Now, right, remember, it wasn't Bar Kapara, it was Rabbi Chia bar Abba saying in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, in the name of Bar Kapara. You say Shishim, but doesn't Rav Asi say in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi in the name of Bar Kapara? Kol Isurin Sheva Torah b'mea. Okay? Doesn't he say 100? Okay? So now we're going to see this debate. Is it Shishim? Right? We all assume Shishim. But again, this is a classic case where the Gemara suggests things that we don't even know when we're in our daily life, right? We didn't even know that there was this opinion that maybe it was actually mea. Ushneim lo lamdua ela mizroa b'sheila. Okay? They both learn it from the same source. Okay? Before we get to this, I just want to point out there's something very interesting in Rashi here. There's a machlok between Rashi and Tosfot. Rashi says in Dibor Matchil B'Shishim, okay? He says the Shishim is Hecha Dibadkine Velo Yahiv Ta'ama. He says Shishim isn't instead of Ta'am. This is if there's no Ta'am and that you checked it. It doesn't have Ta'am, meaning you gave it to a non-Jew, or it was a case of Heter, right? Mim B'Sheino, we know. It didn't, right? You have two different types. It didn't give taste. Inami deleika lameka matama kigon minu mino. Or in a case like two of the same, basar or basar, and you don't know what the mean is. Aval hecha debadkine v'yav tama lo olam tama lo batil. Kedam rabba kama duchtin. He says though, right, we all go by shishim all the time. But what Rashi says is, if you actually taste it and there is taste, if you have a way to taste it, give it to someone else to taste, and they taste ta'am, shishim doesn't work. Okay? He says, clearly, it doesn't work. And Tosfot says, look at Tosfot, Kol Yisurin Shabbat Torah B'Shishim, Perish B'Kontrus, that's Rashi, Da'af Ki Lo Yayv Tama B'Shishim, that even if it doesn't, so right, and then Rashi says a few things. He says, even, and that's what Rashi says is if you, sorry, I said it, it goes both ways. Let me start with the first one. Rashi says, right, that was Hechav Dehinim V'Lo Yayv Tama, but Rashi also says, where is it? Lolam tama lo batil. Right, if it has tam, it's not batil. But also, if it doesn't have tam, if someone tastes it and there's no tam, you still need shishim, Rashi says. Okay? So, Tosfot says, what are you talking about? Afki lo yav tama ba shishim, Rashi says, ve'enire. Umashevi rayam, and the kaman afarish kaman zrat Hashem yitbarach. So basically, Rashi says, if there's no ta'am, even if there's no ta'am, then you still need shishim kenegdo. Okay? So then people explain in Rashi that he must be talking about only if the actual isur is in the heter. Like what kind of case? Like chelev falls into a piece of meat, and the chelev gets absorbed into the meat. So even if you don't taste the chelev, you need shishim kenegdo that chelev. Okay, but if you took out the iser, right, let's say, a piece of meat falls into another, right, into something else, into a pot of milk, and you take out the piece of meat after it cooked up a little bit, then you can rely on tam, okay? And that's because tam akfela, right? We saw that you can taste them. But some people say that even if the gufa isur is in there, we can still go by ta'am, and that this is only talking about a case where we don't have anyone to check. So there's like all different interpretations here about what exactly Rashi is talking about, what's the interplay between shishim and ta'am. Okay, so again, is it, if there's no ta'am, you still have to go by shishim, or even if, right, and it's Rashi says, even if there's no ta'am, you still need shishim, and Tosfot says, no way. Like, if you don't have ta'am, you can go by ta'am. Okay, and this is only talking about a case where you can't check the ta'am. Okay, that's one issue. There's another issue of machloket here, which is, there's a question, if there's shishim, and yet you still taste iser, is that asur mida oraita, that ta'am, or is it only asur mida rabbanan? Another debate about that. Okay, so there's a whole debate about what the interplay here between shishim. Yeah, it's a very important question. So these are matters of debate. Okay, so now they're going to learn this machloket mei v'shishim from zroah b'sheila dichti. Okay, what's the zroah b'sheila? This is in the nazir. The el nazir brings in an ayil and the el nazir. What do you have to do? You have to take the zroah b'sheila. Okay, now zroah b'sheila means the zroah that you cooked from this, and you give it to the kohen. And the rest of the meat, the nazir eats. Okay, or the balim here, because it was a shlamim. So now, nazir eats the rest of it. So now, think about it. If you cook the zroah b'sheila, how did you cook it? Did you cook it with the rest of the meat? And if you cooked it with the rest of the meat, then what do you see here? It's like the chulin and truma that we saw. Right? The zroah b'sheila is only allowed to the kohen, and yet it was cooked with this meat and gave taste into the meat. So here goes. Lakacha kohen et zroah b'sheila. V'tanya. B'sheila, ein b'sheila ela shlema. What b'sheila means, it means they took it and they cooked it whole. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai omer, ein b'sheila ela shenit bashla ma'aya. B'sheila doesn't mean shlema. It just means that it was cooked with the meat. Okay, so what's exactly this machloket? Everyone agrees that they cooked it with the ayil. Mar savar mechatechla v'hadar mevashela. One said, first they cut the zroah off and they cooked it with the ayah, with the rest of the meat. Umar savar mevashela, first they cooked it while it was still attached. V'hadar mechatechla. Now, according to this interpretation, we're going to see two interpretations of the machloket. The first interpretation is, both opinions think it was cooked together. It's just a matter, was it first cut and then cooked together? Or was it cooked whole? V'ibayt ema, however, the other interpretation is, dekule alma mechatechla v'hadar mevashela. Everybody agrees that they cut it and then cooked it. Mihu mar savar bahade ayel mevashela, umar savar bikdera acheret mevashela. Okay, so when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says it was nitbashlaim ayel, he means it was cooked in the same pot. And when the other opinion, when the who says it, the right, the Tanakama says bishela means shlema, it means it was cooked in its as whole, meaning it was cut from the meat, but it was cooked whole. But separate from, in other words, it doesn't mean it was cooked with the ayah. Okay, so now, he says it was cooked in a k'tera acheret. So, let's go through now. So we have one opinion out of four, right? Because there's basically two ways of reading it. Each breaks down into two. In the first reading, everybody agreed that it was cooked together with the rest of the meat. Only in the second lashon, there was one opinion that said, right, the Tanakama, that it wasn't cooked with the meat. So Lelishnakam, according to the first reading, Aliba de Divrei Hakol, according to everybody, Ulelishna Batra, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right, according to three out of the four options that we saw, they agree that it was cooked together. So now, once they agree it was cooked together, Manda Amar Bishishim, so now we get to, within this, we have to debate how we view this Zroah. If you say b'shishim, what's the assumption? The assumption is you can cook the zroah in the meat, meaning that the meat of the zroah was canceled, it was batel in the bigger piece of meat, in the rest of the aisle. So now the question is, how do you evaluate, what's the ratio of zroah to meat? So it depends. It depends, now obviously it depends on the size of the animal, but we're not getting into that. Let's say we take the average aisle. So now, let's figure out. Manda amar b'shishim savar. So remember, the machloket, where do we get here? The machloket shishim umeya comes from here. So again, comes from here through the lens of three out of the four opinions we saw that claim that it was cooked together. So if you claim it was cooked together, then you have to assume there was bitul here. So how is bitul? Manda amar b'shishim savar batsar va'atzamot bahade basar va'atzamot. We count the zroah with its atzamot compared to the meat with its atzamot, misharina. The havele b'shishim. Then you're going to get shishim, basically. If you take the ratio of the zroah with its bone and you compare it to the meat and its bones, you're going to have a 1 in 60 ratio. Manda amar b'mea savar basar bahade basar misharina. The havele b'mea. But if you say it's 1 to 100, you need a much greater ratio to go against the zroah. Why? The zroah compared to the meat, okay, the zroah is full of bones. It has a big bone in the middle of it. I think of the zroah, right?
The thigh bone.
It has a big bone in it. It's not a lot of meat compared to the bone. But in the rest of the animal, there's more meat compared to bone. So therefore, if you do meat to meat, the meat of the zroah is much less of a ratio than, you know, it's got a much smaller portion than to compare to the whole piece of meat in itself, and therefore it's b'meah. Okay? So therefore, they learn out from the zroah b'sheila, either 60 or 100, depending on whether you count the atzamot or just the meat. So now they have a bigger question, which is, umi alfina mina? How can we possibly learn from the zroah b'sheila? The ha-tanya, doesn't it say in a braita, zehu, remember zehu always means this and only this, is heter haba michlal isur. This is a case of heter that comes from isur. What does that mean? This is a case where we matir something that's generally asur. Okay? Now, zeu lemiute mai. Isn't this to exclude my lav lemiute kol isurin shebetorah? Isn't this to say that this is only true by the zroah that we can use bitul, but not anywhere else? In which case, you could say like this, the zroah is batel b'shishim, or b'mea, but nowhere else can we use batel b'shishim or b'mea. So, first answer we're going to get to today. Okay, this is going to be our question that we're going to have a bunch of answers to. So in other words, since this is going to be a question we're going to have a bunch of answers to, and we're going to continue tomorrow with some of them, let's just make it very clear. It sounds like the Zroa is giving us the prototype for Dine Beetle, Shishim or Mea, right? However you see it, which obviously we know we're going to pass on Shishim ultimately, but this Machloket Shishim or Mea, and the fact that you can cancel something out either with Shishim or B'Mea, but this Braita seems to say this is a unique case, unique only for Zroa B'Sheila, and it doesn't work anywhere else. So Amar Abaye, when it said Zehu Atera B'Abba Michlal Isur, Lo Nitzricha Ela L'Rabbi Yehuda. That was for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. What's Rabbi Yehuda's unique opinion? We've seen this before. Da Amar Mim B'Mino Lo Batil. We talked about this before, right? Mim B'Mino, we say generally we do Bitul. If a meat falls into meat, right? If you figure out a shishim, you can't do no tain tam, but you do shishim. But Rabbi Yehuda has this opinion that Mim B'Mino isn't Batil. If you remember, where do we learn this from? The Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim, he takes Midam HaPar u'Midam HaSeir, and he mixes them together, and yet we still call it the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSeir, which means that the Dam isn't canceled out into Dam. And he claims from here, you see, that blood can't be canceled into blood, therefore any Min B'Mino is never canceled, it always retains its unique, you know, whatever it was before. So, right, characteristics. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Mim b'mino lo batil, kamash malan, therefore, what does this come to teach you? Zeu eter abba michlal isur, that only in the Zeruah b'sheilan do we allow bitul in a mim b'mino, because obviously a Zeruah in the meat is mim b'mino, it might be a Zeruah, and that's the other part of the meat, but it's obviously meat and meat, and here meat can be canceled. Dahacha batil. So now they say, but if you're going to say that, as Rabbi Yehuda said, mim b'mino, why don't we say, b'ligmar mine? Why don't we learn from the Zeruah b'Sheila and use it as a prototype? And now they're saying, why was it, sounds a little arbitrary. He learns, we're going to get into more arbitrary, but they're saying, instead of saying, Zeu eter b'chlal haba michlal isur, why don't we say, this is a case where we matir something, let's matir it in all other cases, let's use this as a prototype. So what do they answer? No, because Galei Rachmana v'lakach midam apar u'midam asir. Since it says he takes from both bloods, this is what happens. It says v'yatzalem isbeach asher lefnei Hashem v'chiper alav v'lakach midam apar u'midam asir v'natano karnotim isbeach saviv. At that point, they were already mixed together, and it calls them dam hapar v'dam asir. It doesn't say v'lakach me'adam. Right, which then we would have said, oh, they get canceled out into each other. Why, by the way, would we be talking about bitul here, remember? Because the par is large, has a lot of blood, and the seir is smaller, has less blood. So obviously there was more blood of the dama par than the dama seir. And in theory, if we have dine bitul, the dama par should have absorbed, you know, kind of canceled out the dama seir, and we should have just called it v'lakach midama par. Okay, so what do they say, right? Travayu. So they're both together, and here you see they're not canceled. So now they say, well, it's arbitrary. Again, so now we have, on the one hand, something in the Torah that says, it's not canceled, and we have the Zeruah b'Sheila, where we see it is canceled, because we allow the Nazir to eat the meat that was cooked with this Zeruah b'Sheila, which was only allowed to Kohanim. So why did Rabbi Yehuda choose to learn from the dam and not to learn from the Zeruah b'Sheila? Chidushu umichidush lo gamrinan. Because there's a chidush miyuchad in Zeruah b'Sheila. It doesn't apply in any other case. What is that chidush? So one opinion is, what's the main chidush here? I don't know if you paid attention to this, but we talked about there's a general klal, ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila. You can't throw something in on purpose, knowing merosh. So what's this case? Zeruah b'Sheila. The Torah tells you, cook it with it, l'chatchila. You're supposed to cook it with the rest of the meat. So that seems to be a chidush. Okay? So now, if you want to say that's the chidush, you'd have to assume that what? That this concept of Eim Avatel Yisr l'chatchila is a do'oraita. Not everybody agrees that it's a klami do'oraita, and maybe it's only a klami do'rabanan that the rabbi said, well, don't cook it l'chatchila. They didn't want people to do it l'chatchila, but maybe the do'oraita would be okay. So some people say, what's the chidush? That it's a mitzvah to cook it together. No, it's not that it's batel, but that there's actually a mitzvah to cook something of Isser with something of Heter. That's the chidush. Okay, so there's a debate, which is interesting, about whether, it obviously gets down to the core, whether Eim Bevatel Isser Lechatchila is on a Doraita level or on a Dorabanan level. Or not a level, but was learned, you know, from the Torah that concept existed, or the rabbis, you know, created that concept. So anyway, what do we say here? This is a chidush, and we don't learn from a chidush, right? The dam and the dam, you might say also that's mevatlin lechatchila, right? Or whatever, we put them in lechatchila, but there's no isser there. It's not like a, this is where you have something that you're going to cook it, and it's isser. So then they say, well, ihachi, if we say this whole thing of Zerah B'Shelah as a chidush, then go back to the beginning. What did we say? We're going to learn from Zerah B'Shelah, Shishay Memea. Well, if it's a chidush, then how can we possibly learn, right? Ihachi, Lamea B'Shishay Nami Lo Ligmar. So if it's all a chidush, we say we can't learn from it. So we can't learn from it anything. So they say, oh, no, wait. Atu Anan Lekula Gamrinan. Lekula Gamrinan, Anan lekula gamrinan lechumra gamrinan. What you're trying to say that you can cook the chidush of Zerah B'Shelah that we can't learn to other things is that, right, that mevatlan isur lechatchila here, and that we can be, right, we could do it lechatchila. That's a kula, okay? We're not going to learn kulas, but we can learn chumras. And here, shishim emeh is a chumra. Why is it a chumra? Because midaoraita biruba batil. Midoraita, we could say that rov cancels it out. As long as it's rov, it's canceled. So therefore, we can learn a chumra from the Zerah B'Shelah. So we can't use it to learn lekula, but we can use it to learn lechumra. And therefore, again, this went back to our question of how do we learn from the Zerah B'Shelah if it says zeu ater abba michal isur? And according to Abaye, zeu ater abba michal isur meant generally, min bimino, it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that min bimino isn't batel. That's what we can't learn from the Zerah B'Shelah. We can't learn, Zerah B'Shelah is unique because it allows min bimino to be canceled. That we can't learn to other cases, but we can learn the shishim and the mea because that's a chumrah and not a kula. Okay? And according to Abaye, then, this whole thing of Zeu, that you can, you know, it's a unique halacha here, would only be applicable, according to Rabbi Yehuda, about Min Bimino. And it wouldn't be applicable to this whole Braita, isn't even applicable to the general opinion that actually says that Min Bimino is Bata. Okay? So, we'll get to more answers tomorrow.